The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
This is Becky Mitchell, and on today's show, we're continuing learning about the revitalization of the Greystone Hotel presented by John King at the Becker County Museum.
We had an outfit out of Minneapolis come in and do a cut and tuck on all the brick, and fortunately, all the fellows were from New York Mills, so they're a real craftsman, and their name, basically, it was a guy and a couple of his kids and a couple other, they worked for a big company out of cities, and their name were Roberts, so Roberts from New York. Now, when the brick is bad, you've got to replace it. This was a real soft brick. You'll notice in here where there's windows, there was a floor in here, and then they had apartments below and apartments above. Well, that wasn't true historically. This was the old kitchen and so on, and these windows went all the way up. This was one window. So we actually took out these windows and replaced them with that great big window in the back. So when you come in and look, come in from the west and look into the west side, those big windows, that's what you're looking at right there. This is that hole that I was talking about where we went in with the Bobcat, hauled everything out, the floor out and everything. Well, we had a little problem with that. Back up one sec. We got that hole and we were doing really well, and then we got about, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 inches of rain. And that whole hill, that all mud, went onto our floor, ballroom floor. So we came in the morning, and our ballroom floor with all that maple flooring was all covered with mud and water. So we scrambled and got it all out of there, and then we started working on filling the hole. This is the parking lot, and we buried all of the electrical in the parking lot. So you'll see the transformers. Greystone have its own transformer over on the side, but that transformer in the middle behind Godfather's, everything runs from there to those other buildings. So it's all buried underground. That's the basement. I mentioned we took the floor out. Well, then we had to put the bathrooms in, so we dug out all of the plumbing and put in new plumbing through the whole basement. That was a picture of the fireplace. I believe it was a real estate office at that point. And the reason I've got that on here is you can see up in here, right above the fireplace, there's a ceiling. Well, once we started tearing down that ceiling, there was about 5 ceilings in there. So it was just, you never know, when you're doing a rehab, you never know what you're going to find until you get in the middle of it. That's part of the ceilings and stuff that we found up there. This was the elevator that they put in the 30s. And we were going to try to rehab that, but it just wasn't safe. So we had in a new one. We mentioned before about the conflict of the funding agencies on what each one is looking for. These are those divided light windows that I was talking about. That is the actual true divided light that was in there. Another issue. This is obviously a doorknob. There was approximately, help me with this, Fred, 80 hotel rooms up there, maybe? 60, Maxine? 60. Well, we have 22 apartments. The hallway has to look like the original hotel. So we were walking through, and we wanted to put, the Historical Society wanted us to put doorknobs like that on every slab door, on every door, on 60 doors. Well, we only need 22. So the question then is, what if there's a fire and there's smoke and the firemen come in and there are 60 knobs, but only 22 of them work? So that became a real issue. So what we did, we compromised, we put in the slab doors, and then we put in 22 operating doors. Now, knobs are not handicap accessible. That's not ADA approved. So the ADA overruled and said you got to put in the levers. And the Historical Society agreed with that. So every door now, we have 22 doors, all of them have a lever, which is ADA approved. That's just some of the things we ran into. There's many of them. There you see the terrazzo floor, and you also see the original handrail. And I don't know what it's some type of metal. It's still there. We rehab that whole thing along with the floor, the railing and the floor. Here's just some progress. I believe this is where MMCDC has their offices today. You can see the mess. It's just we tore everything to the cement. We took out all the plumbing, all the electrical, every piece of wood except for the roof, and took it right down to the bare walls. Once you get in the apartments, then the Historical Society steps aside, and they're not interested in those because it's not a common area. So over here is the hallway. In here is where the apartments are going to be. So what we did is we just started at one end and just took out everything as we went. That's what the basement looked like, and that was pretty much the whole basement looked like that. Just a mess. You can see over here the door that we cut to get all this stuff out, and this is all the mechanical and all the stuff that was used to heat the building and so on. Okay, so we cleaned out everything, and we went back in and put in metal studs. We put metal studs against the wall, re-insulated, did the whole rehab on the inside of the apartments. When I talked about the post and pillar, or post and beams, these are the posts. Those are all poured. And then the beams ran in here from post to post. But then in between crossways, they had about it's probably a 4-inch by a 1-inch or 1-foot beam that ran this way. And that was infilled with the clay tiles. And then the cement was poured on top. Well, over years, you know, it started to move a little bit. So we had to level up all the floors, or most of the floors, to get it level so we could work with it. This is looking down the hallway to the south. There's a stairway over there now, but you can see where we cleaned everything out and left the original hallway walls. Another look at the floors. That's another look at just the hallway. We're just taking it apart. These are those clay tiles I'm talking about. This happens to be, there's a we call it a servant's entrance that runs on the south side of the building almost. And this runs all the way from the third floor all the way to the basement. So it runs, the kitchen was in the south wing, and then the laundry was down in the basement as far as we can tell, and then they ran up and down that stairway. So a little, but they infilled all of that wall with those clay tiles. So it wasn't, they didn't use wood, they used clay. This was the ballroom floor that I was talking about that got flooded. And that's just a picture of we're trying to save it. This is the lobby, a little close-up of the fireplace. I mentioned before that other ceiling was up here. We fixed the brick, redid the wood, kind of fixed it all up. So that's the original fireplace, how it looks today. This is that wainscoting I was talking about, that marble that came out of Pennsylvania. Very expensive, but we had to replace it all. And if you look in the lobby, that runs all the way around the lobby. And that's the ballroom as it looks today. It turned out very nice. We saved the floor, and it's used for a lot of different activities. And that's where the Don's presentation is going to be next week, on Thursday at 2 o'clock. As we said before, we used Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to help with our apartments for our low-income or our affordable housing. And this is just the inside of a bedroom. Okay, there. Now that you're talking about some interesting things other than that, this over here was at one time the telephone company. And so, again, you never know what you're going to run into. So when we were digging through this area to put in the parking lot and put in the drains, all these buildings have roof drains that meet in here to the storm sewer. So we dug this whole area up. In there was a cable, a conduit. And it was probably, I don't know, it was square, probably foot by foot, something like that. And I said, what is that? And here it's how they used to run the telephone lines out of there. It was full of telephone lines out of that building. So we had to rip that whole conduit out of there to get out of everything. So never know what you're going to run into. As Larry Buchholz had the foresight to see that we were going to end up doing the whole block, we ended up doing the whole block. And this is Keith Inward's State Farm. And you'll see it says bank here, and it says Holmes Block. And I believe that's the original door on there still. We tried to save that door. And then this is what we call a beaten building. We ended up doing that. And that's MMCDC has their some offices in there now. Brian? That's the way it looks today on the front. There's a stairway here that goes down to the ballroom downstairs. And when we were rehabbing this building, there would be people coming by every day, and I remember when, and did you remember this? And you hear all the stories. Supposedly, over in this area is a tunnel that runs all the way to the depot. But when we were demoing the whole inside, we never did find a hole that looked like it ran over to the depot, so... That's the way it looks looking north. This is a comparison to the way it looked back when it was built. This is the way it looks today. I think we came pretty close to what it was supposed to look like. And that is what it looks like today from Highway 10. Couple of facts. It took 5 years to complete. We, like I stated before, when you'll notice in Fargo, they call it a Renaissance zone. So they did the whole area as a Renaissance zone, a tax where you could get tax incentives to fix it. That's the only way you can do it, because I'm not going to go in and spend a whole lot of money on this building and then have a junk building next door. It just doesn't work. You don't get the tenants. People don't want to be there. You don't have the parking. So once you get into a project, you're in it deep. So we ended up with 41 housing units with 27,000 square feet, apartments to serve the seniors and disabled. We have 23,500 square feet of commercial rental space. Total cost of that block we put in there was $9.5 million, and we used a lot of low-income housing and historic tax credits to fund that. Here's a breakdown. The Greystone Hotel, 3.7, what we're going to call the annex and the mark. That's one thing I did not touch on, is we call it the annex. We know it as the Markland building. That was actually part of the Greystone. And as we went through there and uncovered stuff, there's a doorway right between the two. I mean, it's a very significant door that's put in there. And then they covered it up and went, but that was all part of it. Now, the Markland building is basically a wood structure. The Teague demolition, that's the old stable. That's when I mentioned that orange building, that's the old stable. You'll say, wow, that's a lot of money, $103,000 to tear that thing down. You have asbestos in these buildings. And once you start working with asbestos, the rules change. And you have to go by the rules. So they have special people that abate asbestos. And a good chunk of that money was just to get the asbestos out of that building. The Holmes Beaton Opera House spent over $2 million on there. That's the old Blanding building. The infrastructure and parking, 720. That was where we dug up all the old footings for the power plant and everything else and ended up with 700 for a total of 9.5. And I guess that's the end of my story. Do we have questions? The question is, was it considered a luxury hotel? Very much so. This was a luxury hotel for Minnesota in those days, especially for northern Minnesota. It was a very unique hotel, you bet. We didn't get out in the street or, you know, remember the old Sauer Brothers had the old one horse, one car station out in front? Well, that has been gone for you that don't know, flip back a little bit. For younger people, you might not know, but right here was a gas station. Right here, it was room for one car. And the Sauer Brothers owned it. If you know Bernie and John and that crew, that was their dads. And Grandpa owned all that gas station. Bob's our maintenance man. You can't see it right here, but from about, well, that stairway over here, all the way around here, and all the way along the west side of the building actually protrudes out 6 feet, 8 feet, something like that. And what they did is they had glass, those glass cubes under there, and then they shined lights up through here so it would be on the front of the building. So they had little ambiance to it as it goes up. Well, in Minnesota, it gets cold in the winter, and you get frost and snow and so on. So that didn't work real well. So they ended up putting cement over top of that, but leaving that basement full. Or it's storage in down there now. Bob has a heck of a time keeping it waterproof, especially when that drain gets filled and the street fills up with water and then all the water runs are there. It gets to be a real mess.
This audio piece was produced in the KKWE studios in Callaway, Minnesota, on the White Earth Reservation. This project is fully funded by a generous grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. If you'd like to hear more, check out our online archive at www.nijiradio.org.